So Holy Spirit, I pray that during this wounds finale, that you would live and move and have your being in this message. And I thank you for favor, Lord God. And I would flow in you and not in me. Just make me an oven mitten today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the wounds finale. I don't know if it's episode 5 or 6. I don't know. But it's going to be today, finding your purpose in the wound. You know, every time something difficult happens, you go, why'd that happen, God? Anybody? Why'd that happen? When I was doing this, and why'd that happen? Right? Say wounds. We all had them. Anyone not have a wound, physically or emotionally or spiritually in your life ever? Please, I'd love to talk to you. Dude, I think your dad's going to wound you just for doing that. Wounds, we had them, and wounds, we're going to get more. It's a guarantee. Wounds are coming, and you don't know where they're coming from. Sometimes we learn during this series that wounds can come from family and friends. It's shocking. It's shocking, right? Family and friends would never wound us, right? And then we learned very difficult. I thought this was a hard episode, Jake. We learned also that we wound others. And if you think you've never wounded someone else, you're greatly mistaken. I'll prove it later. Well, I'll say it now. We've all wounded Jesus. You wound somebody. But if you're a human in your relationships, you're never really perfect in anything you do. And when you're imperfect, occasionally you wound other people. And so often as the body, we'd like to go, you wounded me, and you wounded me, and this pastor, and this church, and you, and you said, oh, okay, true, get healed up in that. But what have you taken responsibility for your wounds? Because we also learned that sometimes they're self-inflicted. I knew I should have been doing that. That's why that happened. Any self-inflictors? I was a self-inflictor. I still am. I still sin. All have sinned. So when we sin, it's self-inflicted wounds, right? Self-inflicted wounds. We also learned, Pastor Justin did a great job last week teaching Pastor here. Fantastic. We learned another aspect of wounds. We learned that wounds can last for generations if they're undealt with. Wounds can last for generations. Some of us can look back at our family lineage and go, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus, break that thing off. And Lord, I'm going to start anew. I'm following after you. I ain't doing that no more. Right? Wounds. Say wounds. Yeah. Wounds can sometimes, this was hard, sometimes wounds can come from God himself. Mm-hmm. God himself. Prove it. I did it last week or the week before, but Saul to Paul, heaven wounded Saul for the purpose of enlightening him to find Jesus so he could become Paul. Jacob thought he was all that in a bag of chips because he was the blessed man of doing to start the tribes. And then all of a sudden God said, I got to touch your leg and you're going to walk differently and you're going to be Israel now. So God did it. So when people say, God will never wound you. No, if you're not where you're supposed to be and you made He'll do what he needs to get your attention to get your job done. You can pull against it, but you're going to get rope rash on your neck. You know? Here's another hard fact, since I'm full of them this morning. I know we wounded him, and I know his wounds also what healed us. Right? Wounds. So the purpose of our wound is to be part of God's healing. Us, the church, I am the church. It's for us to actually be marketing and distributing his healing product of him, the good news. We're marketers and distributors of Jesus. And I've had some really terrible marketers before and some really terrible distributors, and I can't take very well hardcore salesman pitch. It could be like, this will save your life, and it just might. I go, don't tell me what I need like that. You know what I mean? I'm American, you know? But what we are called to be is really good marketers and really good distributors of Jesus. You and me. We're called to be distributors of healing. It's hard to bring healing to other people when we are unhealed. And this series is about finding where you're wounded and getting from God or releasing and forgiving someone else or asking for forgiveness of someone else. And concentrating on, Lord, examine my heart, not examine my spouse's heart, examine my kid's heart, examine Pastor Jody's heart, definitely examine Ed's heart. Examine someone else. No, this is our examination season. This is where we're under the exam. Why? So we can be healthy. What's the purpose in that? So we can be healing to the world. And we talk about the world a lot. How about we become healing to our spouses? Anybody that's married, why don't you start there? Before you go off and heal the world, go spend time and work on the one he gave you. Remember, I talk to pastors all the time. I'm not going to be as rough as you with them. But if you can't take care of your wife or your husband, why can't you take care of God's stuff? I know they don't like to hear it either. I'm moving on, but it's true. How about we become healing to our families? To your friends? How about to your neighbors? And yes, healing to the world. Right. Say, I hear you. I hear Harold right now. I hear you thinking out loud, Harold. Pastor, can you give us a recap summary of a scripture? And I could, like, sure, I can do that, Harold. I'd be glad to help you out with that. Here's some, I'll get to that in a little bit. I appreciate you for thinking that. Some professional action steps, some things that we can do during our brief lifetime. This is what Harold wants us me to talk about. But if we're at war and there's casualties, why do you think you're above becoming one of them at any moment? That should focus us up. There's a country song I love, Live Like You're Dying. We should absolutely do that. Unto the King. You know, you can live like you're dying. Undo me! Yep, there you go. You're going to bring a bunch of people down with you. Thanks for playing. But we should be woken up. It's time to live your life right now for God. Not someday. Right now. Right now. 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. That's a great thing, isn't it? You talk to God, he'll go, hey, I'm listening. I heard you. Like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. I've heard your prayer. I'll check what Jesus' Father God's response is to this. If I shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence and plague among my people. So if trouble of any sort comes your way, then do this next thing. Whether it's, I got trouble from my family, I got trouble from my me, I got trouble from my this, I got trouble from my knee, I got trouble. You know, wherever your trouble's coming from, trouble from God. This is what you got to do next. This is what he says. And my people who are called by my name. Is there any Christians in the house? Say, I'm a C-H. I'm a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. There you go. You just said it out of your mouth. So Christians, if you're called by my name, if you yourself are a Christian, you need to hear this part. If you're under attack, you need to hear this part. If you got wounds in your life, we need to hear this part. If we're called by his name, we got to hear this part. Humble themselves. This is a fun time at church. Look to your left, go humble yourself. Now look to your right and go humble yourself. That ain't comfortable, is it? But you know what's great? It's the H in our H life. It's the humble starts us off, right? Humble's the first step in H life. You cannot come to God unless you're humble. You can't even start the whole, I'm going to put love in me. Love is the answer, and God is love. It's coming out of me. If you don't humble yourself, you're just another clanging gong for God, offending people. Right? No. We've got to humble ourselves. And God says, if this happens, and if I do this, and everything sucks, paraphrase, humble themselves. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Say and pray. And pause there. Pray. Do not just inform God of stuff you know. Pray. Do not just complain or beg for things that you want. Pray. How often do we pray? I see some beggars out there. Me too sometimes. I see, Lord, and if you don't mind, I'd like something tasty tonight. Put on Dr. Heidi's mind. Make a tasty thing. Yeah. Do all sorts of right. Just do what I want, Lord. It's not prayer. if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek, say crave. That's a different thing. I love that word right there. My people are called by my name will humble themselves, seek and crave as required necessity my face. You know the beautiful song that we sing? This is the air I breathe. Because if you weren't, you'd be dead. Stop breathing. Anyone to try it? Stop breathing as long as you can. It's not going to work out well. So what are you breathing? What is the craving of your life? Oxygen. I crave it every day, every moment. I crave it then. I crave it now. I'm going to crave it over here. I'm craving it. Need it. That's what God's saying. Are you craving me out as a necessity? Like after oxygen, am I number two at least? What are you craving? Have you been sick and wounded? What have you been eating? Right? We got to think about those things. What have we been putting in, right? If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray and seek, crave, as required, as necessity, my face. Say, do all that. That's a lot right there, right? If we do all that, and then turn from their wicked ways. This is his people. They don't have any wicked ways. That was sarcasm. I'm working on it. Turn from their wicked ways. Humble themselves, pray, seek, crave as a necessity, my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will. Heal me. I will. I will heal you. I got stuff that you need to do because if I keep healing you up and you keep dropping yourself off the cliff, so there's things you need to do. You need to humble yourself and say, hey, is it me? And then you need to pray and ask what my heart is on it. And then you got to make me the thing that you crave most in your life. And then, on top of that, turn from the stuff that you know I absolutely hate, that is garbage and sin. And if you're not sure what that is, read the book. He said, turn from all that, then I'll heal you. I'll heal you. Then I will turn and heal you. And turn their wicked ways, and I will heal and hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. So what's the big deal about healing their land? Because there's sickness everywhere. Can you feel it? Does the world feel healthy to you? When you walk out, like, super healthy. It's like I'm expecting munchkins to pop out of any cornfield anywhere and start singing to me. It's great out there. The candy man can, you know. Any, I'd like to welcome you to Munchkin Land. Thank you. It's every time I walk out, I hear the song. It's wonderful out there. Anybody experiencing that? Not even Andrew. Not even Andrew. There's sickness everywhere. That's why the land needs healing. Let's take a little side trail. Sometimes we get caught up a lot, right, as Christians, in what not to do, right? Or what not to say. That's one of my problems. Or what not to think, even, right? That sometimes we forget the ultimate goal of it all. Sometimes when things are hard, it causes us to refocus, and we got to keep our eyes on the prize. Got to keep your eyes on the prize. So let's talk about a happy future for a second. You ready for a little happy future talk? Jody's so worried I'm going to be sarcastic. No, I'm being real. This is not. He's like, Pastor, I'm starting myself up. I'm not taking it. Revelations 22, 1 through 5. Revelations 22, 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me. Now, sometimes this word could be minister, speaker. Someone else is teaching this moment. Angel showed me a river, the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, Christ. And in the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree, saying the leaves of the tree, were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer exist anything that is cursed. We'd like to see that. There will no longer exist anything that is cursed because sin and illness and death are gone. Like, that's better than Munchkin Land. And the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants, look at your neighbor, see, he's talking about you. He's talking about you, Sion. Yeah, talking about you. And his bondservants will serve and worship him. Now, I have a little pullover right here before I continue Revelation, Dr. Heidi. I'm going to go back into Revelation. There's no slide. You're good. I'm just going to talk for a second. Keep it there. I'm going to pull over for 2 minutes. I'm checking the time. That clock has got to be way off. No way it's 1 o'clock. Dude, you've been up there a long time. Some of you, and I get it, might not like PDA. What's PDA? Public displays of affection. So you're like, I'm not a PDA. I'm not a public display of affection. No, you know, I am. But some people aren't, and I get it. But occasionally, say occasionally, it is essential in a relationship. It's essential in a relationship sometimes. There's not a person that wants to be in a relationship with another. Let's do married couples. Or there's not a single one of their temperament that doesn't want to be near them and to tell them that they're loved, right? So occasionally, even though if you're not a hand holder, because it gets sweaty, if your spouse, Dr. Heidi were to grab my hand at the mall and do the waffle finger and walk with me and I got sweaty, guess what? I'm not letting go. Not doing it till she does, right? Well, I like that. That this pretty girl's with this old guy. Beauty and the Beast, she's with me. But in all relationships, God included, displays and acts of expression are required. Worship's not an option. Well, I do it at home. Awesome. When you're at home, you should show more love to your spouse or to your, than any time other time. But it doesn't mean you're exempt from giving public displays of affection because God requires it. Right. I know, it's essential. Revelations continue. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. What you think about, it'll be me. What other people recognize on you, going to be me. Is me on you? Is me on you? He's like, can I write myself on you? So it's on your head, and that's I become the number one thing you think about when the first thing people see is, oh, God's on him. That's what he wants. And there will no longer be night, and they will have no need of lamplight or sunlight because the Lord will illuminate them. And they will reign forever and ever. Say, forever. That's a happy future, right? Isn't that nice? No sin, no darkness, no nothing, no light. We just, boom. It's like a Caribbean vacation with Jesus. Yeah! Do, 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 do. Praise and worship. Let's do this. How are you doing, Paul? Talk to me about that crazy thing, you know? Be great. To get to the future, though, we, the church, have got work to do in our present. If we're going to get to the future, we got work to do in our present. Part of that work is us healed. Part of that work is us healed. Part of that work is us repenting. Part of that work is us surrendering to the maturing process. For why? To be healing for others. That's our journey. That's where we're at. So as disciples, we are the leaves of his deep-rooted tree. That's what we are. We are the leaves. Jesus reinforces that. In case you think I'm making stuff up, go to John 15:5. Jesus reinforces that we're part of the plant. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one, God seeks individuals, right? We started off with that. Tell me that God won't speak to you. Spend time and ask him to speak to you. And don't give up till you hear him. Because he wants to talk to you. I am the vine, you are the branches, the one who remains in me. I did a big series called Sustain. I don't know if you guys remember, it was maintain. Hold the line. When pressed against, lean into it. We got to sustain. He says, the one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. And apart from me, that is cut off from the vital union with me, you can do nothing. I want a picture slide up here of something that's going to help us. I've got a picture of a group that Pastor Larry loves. I think it's, yeah. This is back in the day. If you just became a Christian in the 80s and you liked rap, I get rid of all my, I wasn't a rap guy. I got rid of all my secular music for a season. I have a ton of it. I love it now, but I had to give it up for a season because that's what I was steeped in. It's all I listened to, and I couldn't. These guys are not like, well, I needed basketball music. So I found this group called PID, Preachers in Disguise. And then I had this little message as I'm listening to the music, and I wanted to play you a clip of my childhood growing up in the church. You got a clip for me? Let me see your fruit. See your fruit. I don't know how much you got. I want to see is your fruit. Yeah. There's other, she said, we can't do this for very long. Yeah. But I want to give a big shout out to the Jackson family in New York, because they brought me to Christian concerts when I first got saved. They kind of knew, like, this dude needs help. We need to put him in good environments as often as we can. And they did, and I appreciate that. I want to give you a little lyric snip that was in this song. He says, I see you are trying to shed apples, but you are a pear tree. Don't try to be my friend, and don't try to be like me. I just want to see your fruit. And God says, I don't care what you're saying out of your mouth, or how you look, what your Facebook post has. Yeah, and I'm going to be this. Well, I didn't ask you to be that. I'm going to be it. You're trying to shed apples, pear tree. It'll be frustrating for you. You'll be mad at God forever. You're like, I'm not shedding apples. It's because of you. No, it's because you're a pear tree, bro. And I've been waiting for a long time for you to get it. That's how that song did to me. That's how I hit, let me see your fruit. Okay. Got you, God. So here's a question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And he's saying in this, remain in him. No matter what comes and blows your life. And trust me, when you lose two guys under the age of 33 to head-on collisions, which we know something about in this church, it can shake you. When I talk to Apostle John, he's like an unmoved mountain. His grief is incredible. But I don't question that guy's not going to remain in God. Sometimes we let things shake us. We're not going to remain in God. You want to get out of it? That's the only way to get out of it, is remain in. Right? Do we want to be healed? And do we want to be healings for others? Anybody want to be healing for others? Like, I want that. I want God to use me so other people could be healed. Anybody? If not, don't be a Christian, because that's your job. Seriously. If you don't want to raise your hand, you seriously, that's your job. That's hard to hear, but the church has got to start saying it. Because we can't be vacuums, suck it in God all the time. And we're supposed to give it out. Well, I'm hurt, then get healed. Well, so-and-so, what about you? Well, I want to be an apple tree. What did Jesus say? He said, I'm a mango. Well, you should be happy, because I want to be a mango. We, me, you, say us, are his branches. We're his branches, right? Our purpose in overcoming our own healing is that we'd be healing between God and man. We're supposed to bring healing between God and man. So if you had an injury with God, how are you going to bring a healing to someone else? Our job is to bring healing, unite God and man back together, and Jesus said, I did it. I'm the bridge. Bring them to me. Right? That's our job, our number one job. And during this season, it drives me crazy. I'm going to say it because I'm not speaking next week. Pastor Marty, you have to fix it. I feel like sometimes as believers, we don't always have our greatest intentions in heart. We're giving out the gospel in an evangelistic world. Why? Because lots of times we're trying to, how many got saved? 42? 42? Yeah. How many were at the rally? 7,000. And I'm not against evangelistic outreaches, but I want to tell you the amount of solid fruit I've seen of that lasts long term is minimal compared to line fishing, where you spent someone saw your life on a regular basis and they came to Jesus and they started serving God and they started following because you followed God and they were following you and now they're following God without you. That's the kind of fishing we're supposed to do. Shouting on a megaphone about people in scriptures, it's all truth. But I'll tell you right now, it would never capture my heart. We've got to be better fishermen. Got to be way better fishermen. We're called to bring healing emotionally to people. spiritually, and sometimes even physically, being involved with their physical health. So are we focused on being healed so we can be healing in our families? Are we focused on it so we can bring healing to the world, to our neighbors? And here's a tough one, even sometimes our enemies. Sometimes our enemies. I got a slide to help us remember some of the things. Humble yourself. Really pray. Sincerely seek and crave Him. Pray for one another that you might be healed. If we can remain in that when the wounds come, not only will you be healed, but other people will be too. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pulling over there. Let me put a caveat. Find a safe upward confessional direction type person. Don't fight. If you're like, I'm still struggling with wanting to fight people all the time. I just want to fight. So I asked my friend Dougie, who's in UFC, is there anything wrong with me wanting to fight all the time? And Dougie said, no. Dougie ain't the guy you need to go to. Confess your sins to one another, but find someone who's got victory in that area, not someone you bring them down. Find someone's like, they're walking that out. And it's really crazy. I have had people come say, well, how do I get free from that? And then you tell them, I don't want to do that. That seems ridiculous or foolish. Will you ask me how I did it? No. It's time to get healed the way He wants us to be healed, right? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Sounds like prayer life has a lot to do with our healing. That you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer. Harold, you want me to repeat that? I knew you did. I knew he did. The heartfelt and persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. Of the righteous man is able to accomplish much. And the picture I got, I put up on Facebook this week. I'm not much a Facebooker, but lately I've been doing stuff. There's a picture of a bunch of Spartan shields. They made a shield wall, and there's arrows flying in. And that's my picture. When we pray for one another, we're putting our shields together. We're locking shields. That's how I pray. We're locking shields. We're going to accomplish much. A righteous man is able to accomplish much when he puts into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and have tremendous power. So be a shield for somebody, right? So why is it a big deal for us to progress in our healing? I've got a slide. This is an easy one. I think next right there. Because our healing is bigger than us. Why do I got to be healed? Why do I got to let the air? That happened when I was a little kid. Every day of your life, you think about it, and you're unable to function. You can't even look some guys in the face. It's a wound. It's a terrible wound that needs healing. But if all it is a wound to be healing, and it never glorifies God, it never sets anybody else free, then what was the purpose in it? Jesus showed His scars, but we're so afraid to. Well, they knew. I had that trouble when I was a kid. They'd be like, they won't come here. Pastor, I was up. He was what? Yeah. Anybody comes from University of Buffalo wants to be behind this mic, you tackle them. I want to filter those stories. They're probably all true, but I want to filter them. But I share my past life sins, problems, issues. Why? Because I want you to see my scars. I'm not perfect, but God healed me. And if you got similar scars, He can heal you too. That's our job, to believe, to bring healing to the nation, to be branches in Him, right? Okay. A small, bigger than example of His word is 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints, God's people, will one day judge the world? Why is this important? Well, if you're unhealthy, who wants an unhealthy judge with a sick mind? No one. Like, can I get a continuance? I don't want this guy judging me. So we shouldn't judge anybody. I didn't say it. He said at some point in time, Do you not know that God's people one day judge the world? If the world is to be judged by you, the world's to be judged by you, are you not competent to try trivial cases? Say, I can improve, Lord. I can improve. I can be more competent. Yeah. Lord, make me surrender to your competency.
Right.
I have heard that most of us have been impacted by this series. I've heard a lot of good reports. God's working in healing. And that always makes me go, if these guys are working on God's healing in life, that means God's going to bring people into your life that need it. And if you bring them into your life, that means we're going to need more space here. Because it's the season. Why? For the church to grow. No, for the world to be healed. The church has got to start the process. It's the time. It's the season. Get healed for your spouse. Get healed for your family. Get healed for your church's sake. Right. Matthew 4:23-24. He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people, demonstrating and revealing that he was indeed the promised Messiah. So the news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick and suffering with disease and pains and under the power of demons and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them all. Body health takes unity and staying connected to the vine, because we're actually supposed to be part of that process. If the vine is doing that, we're branches, it's going to have to come out of our lives as well. Not forced out, I'm just going to go over there and pray for them. No, just take connected to Jesus. If he leads you into a situation, don't you be afraid to be leaves. Don't be afraid to be branches. Ephesians 4:16. From him the whole body, the church, and all its various parts, say all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together, knitted together by what every joint supplies. You know what that means? Every joint means everybody's got a part to play in the machine. Everyone's got a part to play in the body. Everyone's got a role, and it's supposed to supply something to the body. Well, it could be cancerous and supply that. I've seen that in church. Or it can be life and health, because your cell is added to her cell, which is healthy. And together we got healthy cells building a healthy body. And if we do that, then the knee works better. If we do that, the eyes work better. Knitted together by what every joint supplies. When each part is working properly, it's working properly. When each part is working properly, it causes the body to grow and mature. So if you're growing and maturing and getting healthy, guess what you're doing to the body of Christ? You're growing us and making us healthy. That's our job, right? We're causing our personal victory in God will cause his body to be healthier. Every joint needs to supply that. Each part is working properly to make the body grow, building itself up in unselfish love. If the church needs to get healthy, then it's time to start working on it. So I am the church, and I'm working on it. Oh, wait a minute. That wasn't convincing at all. I am the church. I'm working on it. I just wrote it down. I don't need to say it right now. I'll say it later, Pastor. Working on it, right? So that you will cause the body to get healthier. Why are you working on it? Because God's picking on me. No, I don't want you sick, and I want my body healthy. Right. I wanted to end this series on wounds with a big question and then an Old Testament crazy story. Maybe we'll have time for prayer, because right now, I don't know if that time's real. Yeah. I'm doing good then, because it says it's 1:11. I want to end this series with a big question and an Old Testament story. So first question, for those that have received Jesus, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm hoping that you go over there and you have a conversation with whoever's at the prayer wall and you pour your heart out to them and let them explain to you how much God loves you. But I'm talking to Christians this morning in this question. Are we doing our part with the good news? We're the branches. We're the leaves. Was the church doing an outreach program? Yeah, it's called you. Where do you outreach? Walmart and this guy's job and that guy's job and my house, my neighborhood. You are the outreach program. So I am the church and I am the outreach program. Mm-hmm. So the first question, are we doing our part with the good news? Are we just keeping stuff to ourselves? Are we keeping it to ourselves? Or are we peddling it for a different agenda? I'm a Christian. Why? Because I really want you to buy my house. I'm a real estate agent. I'll just, yeah, I'm Christian. And just come in here and buy my house. No, what are you peddling? Don't peddle Jesus. Stop. Peddling Jesus makes me angrier than anything else. I can't stand it. And if you think I'm peddling me, come up, grab me by the ear like Sister Joachim do and yank me around. But we can't keep keeping it to ourselves anymore. We got to stop our own agenda. So here's my story time. 2 Kings 7, 3 through 9. A unique story to end the wound series on, but the purpose is to bring healing, right? Our wounds in this episode is to remind us we are part of the healing. Now there were four men who were lepers. They were at the entrance of the city's gate, and they said to one another, "Why should we sit here until we die?" They're under siege. Enemies coming in, and they're starving them out. They're not letting any food in and out of the city. This walled city is great, but they're like, we're just starving them out. So these lepers are like, look, man, we got to get out of here. They say if we will enter the city, then the famine of the city, we're going to die there. And if we sit here, we're also going to die. So come, let us go over to the camp of the enemy. And let us live, and if they let us live, we live. If they kill us, we only die. Like, we're going to die anyways, so let's have some courage, and let's just go over to their camp. Maybe they'll have mercy on us. That's what these guys are thinking, right? So they got up at twilight to go to the Armenian camp, but when they came to the edge of the camp, there was no one there. Enemy's a shadow puppet. Stop being, he'll really hurt you if you give him the power to. Sometimes he's just a mirage we're afraid of, and it keeps us from moving in things we should be doing. They got up at twilight, and they came to the edge of the camp, and there was no one there. And the Lord had caused the Armenian army to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. And they said to one another, "The king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians. So let's get out of here." And they fled during the night, and they left their tents, their horses, their donkeys, just as it was, because they fled for their lives. When the lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into the tent, each tent, and they ate and they drank, and then they carried away silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. So I'm going to pause a second. Say, that's terrible. Okay. They're looking out for themselves. Lots of times when you enter Christianity, that's how it starts. I got this little treasure, and this is going to help my life. Because my life was a mess, and I need to help my life. We're called to do more than that with the treasures we find. We'll get back into it. When these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they got everything they could find, clothing, gold, and they hid them. Then they went back and entered another tent and carried some more valuable things also and went and hid them. Say, self-preservation. Man, that's a problem, is it, with humans sometimes. And then they said to one another, "We are not doing the right thing. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping silent." What's God done in your life that you're keeping silent on? It's time to stop being silent about it. Because other people need. Israel is starving. They were all going to die. The land was going to die. And these unworthy lepers that no one could even be around come across God's provision. I was a leper, came across Jesus. I don't want to keep him to myself. I think as Christians, we got to be the evangelistic program with our healing. That's why this wound series is so important. We can be healed so we can actually do that. Don't you want to be the part of someone's healing? Don't you want to see them come alive because you brought them the God factor? Oh, man. It says, "Well, wait. If we wait until morning, some punishment for not reporting this will come upon us. So now, come let us go and tell. Come let us go and tell. Come let us go and tell. Sounds a lot like Jesus. You know, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to the world. Who's supposed to do that? The church. Who's the church? Put your hand in the air like it just don't care. I'm the church, right? Go after God and let him inspect and heal you. Give his healing plan out as liberally as you can. Don't judge who deserves healing, who doesn't. That's not us. You give it out wherever you see sickness. Right? And if we could really commit to start doing that at home, start bringing healing to home. Start there. And then spread it around the world. Our health and lack of health is what can either infect or affect. If you're not, there was a someone recently who almost died of sepsis, which means they had a surgery and then it get all the part out that was sick, and that sickness began to grow and poison their blood and almost killed them. They were infected. Sometimes with like wounds, and someone else has our similar wound, we're like flies and we swarmed. Oh, I know. I know. Sean didn't give me a cookie either. So I'm mad at him. You're mad at him too. Let's just talk about anti-Sean club. Yeah. The church. Yeah, flies buzzing around right just to infect the wound. That's not our job. It's affecting his church, not infecting his church, right? Our wounds should have a purpose. So if you're in that this morning, I don't know if my guitar should come up, or I've got songs and thing. I don't know. Whoever you want to do, whoever feels like you want to come on stage and play, which is typically you, Bob. Yeah, you're good. I'm going to do a general blanket prayer of you if this is you. I'm going to have you stand. If you've been dealing this series as touch wounds in your life, I'm like, Pastor, I know I needed some healing and I'm on my way. Or Pastor, I need more than that. I need to go see some professional help. Or Pastor, I actually have been healed in these scars, and I've been feeling the prompting of the Holy Spirit to get back out and share Jesus with people so they can be reunited to God again. If that's any of your categories, I'm going to pray for you today. But I'll tell you right now, if you don't remain in him and make that your focus, my prayer is not going to be effective. So if that's really your heart, I'm seeking and craving his face like no other. And I want to be healing for the nations, and I want to remain in the vine, and I want him to use my good fruit to change other people's lives. Could you stand for me? Lord, wounds are so unique in all of us, in various depths and aches, and some take so long for healing, Lord. I want to speak to the long-term healing that's been going on in some folks' lives. Lord, this would be the year, Father God, of restoration. Lord, that the things that have been working on for so long and really working on for their healing, Father, I pray that you do that in their physical bodies, in their emotional bodies, in their spiritual wounds, Father. You would do that. And bring them to the place, Father God, to send them out into the world. And some of us, Father, have wounds from friends. Maybe they're friends sitting right next to us today. Maybe it's the guy behind the pulpit. You got wounds that you know, it is infecting me. Father, I pray for saints that are infected with wounds today, that you would bring healing to the deepest part of their lives. Lord, that they would feel so free from those injuries, Lord, whether they're self-contrived, Lord God, they've done it to themselves, or someone else has done it, Lord God, they're standing and they're asking for healing in that area. So, Lord, I ask that you would make them leaves and branches and bring wholeness to them in Jesus' name. And those of us, Lord, that want to take that next level step and become the evangelists of the world, we want to bring God's restoration plan to someone else. And we want to see our land healed. So we humble ourselves when we're standing up in front of strangers. We humbled ourselves, Lord God, and I'm praying. And I'm seeking your face for this. We're asking in Jesus' name you heal our land. And you'd cause us to be part of that process. A healthy church in a healthy land. And that you'd be glorified with every inch of it, Father. In Jesus' name. And if you're in agreement, please just say amen and hug your neighbor.